About 4 years ago, I was on a mission trip to Mexico, and we had a group with come down to meet us in El Paso, and they were from the Faithway Baptist Church in Toronto, Canada. It was the first mission trip that this youth group had ever been on in a foreign country. They'd been in other places in Canada, but they'd never been to Mexico, and they rendezvoused with us in El Paso, and we went into Mexico together. And they were so blessed, they were so stirred that the night before they left, at the testimony time, many of these young people were weeping. Four young men surrendered to missions. Their hearts were broken. They said, you know, we could have been born here, but God allowed us to be born where we were. You know, and they were just so impressed with what God was doing. And we had several hundred people saved on that trip. And the youth pastor's wife was stirred. She went back to her room with her husband that night after the testimony time and the preaching. And she couldn't sleep. So she got up during the night and she put this song together. It's a little chorus she wrote. And then the next morning she taught it to the young people in her group. And they sang it to us, and then they added another song to it. But the song is real, the chorus goes like this. We touch the word that touched their hearts. God touched the hearts that touched His word. And we will never be the same again. For we touched the word that touched their hearts. And then the young people sang, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I'm going to be honest with you. I wept. You know, it's a blessing when God's working. Amen. When you see God working in young people and in lives of anybody, it's such a blessing. That's the joy of the ministry to me. Oh, there are heartaches. There are things that you really don't want to be a part of. But the joy is far greater when you in the ministry seeing people saved and seeing God working in the lives of people, young people as well as adults. They went with us, and one of the passages of Scripture that I preached on the night that before she wrote the song was in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4. You follow along as I read. Let's stand. You've been seating quite a while as we read the Word of God. This is only going to be another 4 hours, folks. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Father, thank you for the opportunities we all have to serve you. Thank you for this church and what it means in this community. And Father, we pray for Brother Brown and this church families, Lord, that you'd bless them and use them mightily for thee in this corner of thy vineyard. And God, that you'd just do a work here that we can rejoice, give them souls for their labors. And Father, use each one of us to your glory that we might stand before you one day, not ashamed of our lives, and we might hear from thee, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we go on these mission trips, we distribute a lot of scriptures. Tracts, we try to do, I don't print tracts. There's so many places that print them, I get them from them. But we do print John Romans, and we printed last year in 22 languages. We shipped to 19 countries. The year before it was 37 countries. I mean, we've printed in 32 languages over the last 31 years I've been with Wildwood Baptist Church. And we've had the privilege of printing in 5 tribal languages that had never been brought into print before. Had the joy of distributing and being on the field, seeing people for the very, very first time receive the Word of God. I mean, grown men, I've seen them weep when they get a portion of the Bible. It's so exciting to be a part of this. I used to work and print candy bar wrappers. And I watched a guy one night. He opened a candy bar. You ever watch people open candy wrappers? They rip it open. They eat it. They throw it away. And I looked at that and I thought, God, there must be something I can do with my life more important than print garbage. I mean, there's nothing wrong with candy wrappers. Nothing wrong with packaging goods, which I printed. But everything that I printed ended up in a landfill. And then one day, God sent a missionary to our church, Carlos Demerson. He presented the Bearing Press Seed Work. And God changed my life that day. He called me to preach and print the Word of God. That was in 1977. I've never got over it. I hope I never get over it. I do know this, that Carlos asked me to go with him on a mission trip to Mexico the week after I surrendered to the ministry. I didn't have any money. I said, I can't go. I have three children and a wife, and I got a job. You know, I can't just leave. He said, listen, if God gives you the money, would you go? Didn't you just surrender to the ministry? I don't know if you should all do this way. But I said, well, yes, I did. But this is going way too fast for me, you know. He said, well, if God gives you the money to go, would you go? I thought, and I said, sure. But it's got to be above what I need. It's got to be something definitely out of the ordinary, okay? So I went to work the next morning thinking that I was going to take leave of absence just in case God gave me the money. And I thought, well, I'll talk to the boss, you know. So every time I'd leave my press to go to see the boss, something would go wrong at the press and I'd have to fix it. And by the time I got done running the job and finished up and shut down, I went to see the boss and he was gone to a meeting. So I didn't get to talk to him about taking leave of absence. And so I go home that night and my wife and I prayed about this, you know, and I got to praying and I got convicted and I got thinking, and the God's telling me, or I thought it was God, to quit my job the next day. And I'm thinking, you never argue with God, but I did. I said, you got to be kidding, God. Quit my job. I got a wife and three kids. How are we going to make it? You know, I can't quit my job and go to Bible school. What is this, God? Why are you laying this heavy on me? And I was arguing with God. You never do that, but I did. Anyway, so I said, okay, Lord, if you really want me to quit the job, I'm going to put out a fleece. I figured I was safe. I said, you know, our boss never comes in before 7. We get in at 6:30, we start the shift, he gets there about 7. I've never seen him there before 7. But if you can get him there before I get, I'm going to go in an hour early. I'm going in at 5:30. And if he's there at 5:30, I'll believe you want me to quit my job. You know God has a sense of humor. I showed up in the parking lot at 5:25. I walked down by the front of the building and guess whose car is parked in his spot. I walk in the building and he's standing there putting his key in the door. And I said, Arden, what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. He said, at 3:00 this morning, I woke up. I was having such a night. I was tossing and turning. I was having a miserable time. My wife got mad at me. She said, what is the matter with you? I can't get any sleep. I got to go to work tomorrow too. Why don't you just get up and go to work? Because neither one of us are. And she was mad at him, he said. And I said, I know why you're here, Arden. He said, you do? He said, I thought it was something I ate. I said, no, it wasn't something you ate. I said, last night, I asked God to have you here at 5:30 if he wanted me to quit my job, because God sent a missionary to our church to present a ministry printing the Bible, and I surrendered to print the Bible and preach the Bible, and I'm going to be going to Mexico. I didn't even have the money yet, so I'm telling my boss, I'm probably going to be going to Mexico next week, and I can't give you 2 weeks' notice. I can only give you 1 week, because I'm probably going to go to Bible school right after that. You know what this lost Lutheran man did? He said, that's wonderful, Jim. I thought he'd try to talk me out of it. He said, that's great. You can't do anything better than print the Bible. You know, the Bible's the greatest book in the world. I know that, I said. By the way, I said, let me ask you a question. I never ever had a chance to witness to the man. So I said, Arden, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I don't know. He said, I hope so. I think I might. He said, I was baptized, you know. And I said, I'm not asking if you're baptized. I'm asking if you know for sure if you have eternal life. Well, I don't think anybody can know that. Arden, if I could show you in the Bible, would you be interested? Oh, yeah. So I pulled out a New Testament, went through the plan, got the witness to the boss for the first time, give him a plan of salvation. He didn't get saved, but he listened. He said, well, that sounds interesting, but I still like, you know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, and, you know, and I have my religion, and he was giving me the same runaround a lot of people do. But I planted a seed, you know, and I hope we got saved later. I don't know. I never went back. He offered me, he said, if you ever need a job, you can always come back, you know. I've never needed a job. I've always had plenty to do. But I've never seen him since. I hope he got saved. You know, I went to church Wednesday night, the day after I quit my job, not knowing if I had any money to go to Mexico, not knowing how I'm going to even live, let alone whatever. I show up at church and pastor says, well, you know, ever since you were there Sunday, God has been all over me. And I talked to the deacons and we decided to pay your way to Mexico. And by Sunday, he decided to pay my wife's way so I'd come home. It was only a 2-week trip. Anyway, So it was kind of neat. God took care of that. You know, we serve a great God. By the way, I went to Bible school. God took care of all our needs. I've been in the ministry 33 years. I've never lost a meal I didn't want to miss. God has supplied all my needs, all the ministry needs. I have never run out. I'm telling you, God is merciful. He's wonderful. He's worthy to serve. If you're thinking about serving God, don't think about it. Get involved. If God's dealing with you about serving Him full time, get involved. It's worth it. The greatest opportunities of your life are serving God. You realize everybody that you witness to has the opportunity to get saved, and you have the opportunity of seeing them in heaven someday? When I go to a foreign field, I think I'm visiting relatives. I mean, they are our relatives, right? Many of them that are saved. And then when you win more to Christ, you have more relatives. And so we're going to have one huge family reunion. Why do you think we're going to have a big marriage feast of the Lamb and it's going to last for eternity? Because we can't talk all that time. When we don't have to worry about the time. We don't have to worry about going home. We don't have to worry about anything going on. Because everything going on will be relative to what we are doing there. Amen? I'm looking forward to it. The Bible says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and our hands have handled of the Word of life. You know, it's an amazing thing. We've all heard the Word of God. We've all seen the Word of God here. Everybody here has seen the Bible, right? Well, if you haven't, you've been asleep. We have looked upon, it says. We've heard it. We've seen it. We've looked upon it. But most Christians have done all these three things, but there's one thing most of us have never done. We have not all handled the Word of God. Do you know the difference? When you see it, it's one thing. When you hear it, it's one thing. And when you look at it, it's one thing. But when you handle the Word of God, that means it becomes part of you. There's a song that a fellow at First Baptist Church Milford put together. I can't sing it. I don't know all the words. But the title is Fingerprints Around the World. I want to invite you to come and visit us. We're the closest missionary you support. We have a print shop that you can come and assemble the Word of God. You can help us handling the Word of God. And then you can realize your fingerprints. That song I sang, we touched the Word that touched their hearts. God touched the hearts that touched His Word. And we will never be the same again. When you realize the very scriptures that you've put together has won somebody to Christ, you have a part in that. We're co-laborers together with Christ. It is not pastor's job alone. It's not my job alone. But collectively together, we can reach this world for Christ. The opportunities are phenomenal. The equipment in the printing ministries we have right now, we could print 100 tons of scripture a week. Literally. That's not a joke. We're planning for next year, and we're working toward this, and we're trying to raise money toward the project of printing 400,000 whole Bibles in English just to give to missionaries, because it's the King James 400th anniversary. We want to give them out 400,000 Bibles. I have requests from missionaries in Africa, missionaries all over different countries of the world begging for Bibles. We can produce them for about $2.50 a piece with that nice four color cover on, you know, in a general cover we're going to produce. But I'm going to tell you, and it's going to have a special edition 400th anniversary Bible given out. And I mean, it's exciting to have a part in that. And the capability is it's not like, oh, I wish we could do this. We can do this. But it's going to take a little bit of money. But I'm excited about it. I'll be honest with you. We've already raised the money for almost 100,000. That's pretty good. And we haven't even started really to do this. And we're just now getting a word out a little bit on it. I haven't even sent out a letter on this. But I know one thing. God is in this. You know that God is interested in people getting the Word of God? He is. He wants you to have a Bible. He wants everybody to have a Bible. He wants everybody to know about His Son. And He wants to use you and I. You know, when we give out these scriptures and we don't always see the results. We like I said, we pass out over 1,250,000 tracts. We don't always see the results. But I want to tell you something. Somebody in some of these places will be saved. There's no doubt in my mind. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. We have to have faith that producing the Word of God and giving it out is going to reap souls. Amen? And consequently, God honors our faith as we do the work of God. As you witness for God, the Holy Spirit of God deals with the hearts of men. It's the Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word's established. You witness to people. The Holy Spirit witnesses to people. The Word of God witnesses to people. And the Bible says the Word is established. And the Bible teaches that they're convicted then of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. People make decisions every day. And God is dealing with people every day. You read the newspaper, people in an accident, this happened, these people, whatever, people die. I know one pastor, he reads the paper every day, he looks up and he sees everybody that died and he sends flowers from his church with a track to the people and some food for the family. You say, wow, what's that? That's an outreach. And he has led people to Christ at funerals and has had funerals that weren't even members of his church because of things like that. And his church, when I started helping him back in the 80s, he was running about 350. Now he's running close to 1,000 people. Why? Because he's got a heart for the people of his community. He looks for opportunities in every way he can to reach his community. He's interested, and his people are interested, and he's teaching his people to do this. And it's exciting to have a part in this. And you can do more than you believe you can do. God wants to use all of us to reach this world. We need to handle the Word of God. We need to give it out to people. It's one thing for us to have it, but it's another thing for us to give it to somebody else. If you think about it, you probably didn't buy your first Bible. Somebody probably gave you a Bible when you got saved. That's true. In my case, it was. Lost people don't go looking for Bibles because they're not interested. That's why we need to give them the Word. The Bible says the Lord gave the Word and great was the company of those that published it. He said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Everything that we have, every good and perfect gift, cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God gives everything to mankind. God wants us to be givers of His Word. He wants us to be livers of His Word as well. Amen? And if we live the Word of God and we give the Word of God and we're faithful to God, we'll see souls saved. Amen? God wants to use you. And maybe one day you'll be up in heaven and somebody will come up to you and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you because I got saved because you gave and the Bibles were printed and I'm over here in Africa. I got saved. I want you to know when I was in Africa in 1999, I got to lead a number of people to Christ. I had a wonderful time. You know, every country I've been to, I leave there and part of me stays there. I cannot forget these people. They are living in such poverty many places I've been. But it isn't the physical poverty that I see. It's the spiritual poverty. When I was in Africa, the 3 weeks I was there, in the little town we were in called Chesakesi, they had 17 funerals for babies. And they always had a big procession past everybody's house, and they carried the little casket. You know why these babies died? Most of them was from malaria, a very treatable disease. But they would not treat their children because the witch doctor said that was they had to survive on their own, and if it's like the survival of the fittest. If they don't survive, it wasn't meant for them to survive. But it's something they could have lived. But the missionaries couldn't do anything about it. Get in the way, you get in trouble. I went to the funeral of one baby, and I was standing there off to the side, and I watched them. It was a Jehovah's Witness family, by the way, burying their little baby. Very sad funeral. They don't do anything. They don't even pray. They don't have anything going on. No committal of, they just put the body in the ground, bury it, you know. And these four men were standing next to me. And they said, turned to me and they said, do you bury people like this in America? I said, no. At our church, we have a funeral. We preach a message on salvation. We tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, can you tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ? I had those poor guys in the Lord, you know. I mean, at a funeral. I wasn't planning that. God did, you know. I had tracts in John Romans and give them the literature and talk to them. Went through the plan of salvation. The guys get saved. You know, can you tell us? What do you do at a funeral, you know? I go to a funeral to witness to people at a funeral. Even if I'm not preaching the funeral, I go to witness to family. Do you realize people are listening at a funeral? They're thinking about death. That's a good place to be. And it's a good place for Christians to be. And I think that's why God expects us, when we have funerals, God expects us to be a witness there. I don't mean you have to be pushy, but you do have to listen and you do have to care. And it's an opportunity to reach people for Christ. You can pray for people. You can tell them you're praying for them and really do pray for them. Amen. People listen and people think about that. And maybe someday someone will get saved because you care. Just remember this. You have a Bible, and you all know this, because somebody sacrificed time and translated the Word of God in your language. Somebody passed it on to this generation so that we could have it. And God expects you and I to handle it and pass it on to the next generation so they can have it. Johannes Gutenberg said this. He said, God suffers because of the great multitude whom His sacred word cannot reach. Religious truth is captive in a small number of manuscript books which guard the treasuries. Let us break the holy seal which holds the holy things. Give wings to the truth that by a means no longer written at great expense by the hand that wearies itself, but multiplied by an unwearied machine, it may fly to every soul born in the world. I don't know if he was really saved, but he had a vision. He had a vision to get the Word of God to every soul in the world. That ought to be our vision too. If it was right for you to have the Word of God, it's right for you to share it and handle it and pass it on to the next generation. Amen.